Well, let's pray together. God of glory, thank you so much for opening our hearts, giving us the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for commissioning us to proclaim his name and listening to Brent and what you are doing. It is your gospel, it is your good news, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And yet, Lord Jesus, you've commissioned us clay pots, to display forth the glory of who you are. What a privilege for us. May we not waste our privilege. May we use our time wisely to tell people who you are, what you've done, and how they may come to know the God of the universe. Because the God of the universe has stepped forth to reveal himself to us. So we thank you for this time in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake and Jesus' glory. Amen. I have a ring at home. It's just a little tiny one. It's one my grandfather, who I never met. He died the year before I was born. But I never met him, but he gave to my grandmother around 1912. It was sort of like a promise ring. He was in the Navy, the U.S. Navy. And he was off doing whatever. But he gave her a ring. And my grandmother gave it to my wife. And when my wife went to heaven, I got the ring. And it's really a nice ring. I love looking at it. I take it out every once in a while and look at it. It reminds me of my grandmother. She was just a neat gal. But it's a treasure. And that treasure I take, and I have a spot for it. And I'm not telling you where it is. But it's a spot, and I put it there so nobody can steal it. It's for safekeeping. You know, the gospel is called a treasure also, but it's a treasure not to hide away, but a treasure to give away. I love Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and Paul writes this. He says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." So he's looking at us and he's saying, you know, we're all the same. We're all just clay pots. Sometimes cracked pots, yes, but clay pots nonetheless. You know, these are the kind you can go to Meijer or what's that other store? Target. That's that French store, isn't it? Target. You can go there and you can get, you know, just pots. And you know that they're not worth a whole lot. It's not like going to Saks Fifth Avenue where you get these things and they're painted and hand-painted and all that stuff. No, it's the regular stuff of life. And Paul says that all of us have this treasure in clay pots. Now, if you trace back the word treasure in that passage, you get back to verse 4, you discover that that treasure is the gospel. Isn't that neat? A treasure is the gospel. And when you think of the gospel, you think of basic ideas. Basically, it's the Lord Jesus, his substitutionary death on the cross for our sins, bearing the wrath of the Father, and his resurrection from death to demonstrate that death has been conquered. Remember, people, the resurrection is as much a part of the gospel as his death. We always say, well, he died for our sins, and he did. But if he didn't rise from the dead, that death on the cross means nothing. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain. The resurrection is very important because if he didn't rise from the dead, death hasn't been conquered. And death is the enemy that is an enemy for us all. But he says, I put that beautiful gospel in your hearts. And what I want you to do is to use it and to use it wisely. What better treasure could anybody ask for? And Paul says, listen, I want you to take that treasure and basically use it wisely and widely. And we're going to talk about this. You know, Paul, and he says, listen, I want you to use it right where you are. I want you to take what you have. this treasure and use it. Paul and Silas were in jail in Acts chapter 16. And when you're in jail in Paul's day, there's no cafeteria for a 10 o'clock break. The cable TV has not yet been set up. Nothing is there for you. If you don't have somebody bring food to you, you don't get to eat. It's a nasty place to be. But it tells us that Paul and Silas were there, and I want to read this verse to you. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, this is before the New Testament was written. A couple of books probably by this time were written, but nothing floating around in what we would call a Bible. It simply says they were singing hymns of praise to God, and they were praying. So they would use probably what we would call the Old Testament, probably Psalms that talked about the central focus of the New Testament, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah risen from the dead, and he rules over the universe. Now, that's in contrast, of course, to what everybody else thought, that Caesar was Lord. And now we got a couple of people in competition. Who's going to last? And as they're doing that, it says here that the prisoners were listening to them. Now, it doesn't mean there was a revival in prison, but it does say that Paul and Silas made it known that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's important. They did it right from where they were, and they took what they had. And what did they have? Well, Paul says, we have this treasure in these clay pots, these Skippy peanut butter jars. These peanut butter jars, people, are normal things on the shelf, and yet they're to do something with them. He says, you have this treasure, and I want you to display the glory of God through them. What I'd like to do is take the idea that the issue is the gospel, and we all have this treasure. We've talked a lot about, in church, what the gospel is. And we all know that. His death, burial, resurrection on our behalf. But what I want to share with you is a little bit more about this other part. Use what you have, the gospel, right where you are. That's the point we need to understand. When we speak of the gospels and think about things. Here's Paul in Acts 16, and he's in prison. And the two of them are praying and singing, and they're probably using scripture that they knew. In Acts chapter 17, Paul's out of prison, and he's in Athens. And basically, he's in a university forum. That's what he's in. And he's there with all these different philosophies being talked about by everybody there. And Paul begins to talk about the gospel. Of course, it's fine when he starts talking about the death of Christ, but when he talks about the resurrection, everything stops. And the people say, listen, here's the deal. We think some of that stuff you're talking about is foolishness. Some of the other people said, I've put my faith in that one who raised from the dead. And then others said, well, come on back, Paul. We'll take further consideration on this. But the different reactions to the gospel, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is simply to proclaim or to talk about Jesus Christ, what he did. What we invite people to trust Christ, but we can't force them. That's the Lord's business. And what I want to share with you today is how we take that gospel that we're commissioned with, and we want to talk about how do we use this thing. People, don't be afraid. Don't be like me many years ago, afraid to share the gospel. Because sharing the gospel is basically this, and I love this. I learned this 50 years ago. Sharing Christ is simply sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Don't be afraid to talk about his death, burial, and resurrection. People are sinners. They don't like the word sin, but they know that inside there's something wrong. The key is, how do I deal with it? That's what the gospel does for us. Last week, Jimmy Smith spoke about the presence and the purpose and the power of the Lord Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit in presenting the gospel. What I want to talk about today is, listen, he says, Jimmy told us, that, look, the Lord's equipped us. He's given us his presence. He says, I'm going to give you a purpose to it. I'm going to give you a mission, and I'll be with you. I'll give you my presence through the work of the Spirit. But he says, you've got to do it. And so what I want to share with you today is, how do we do this? I want to put before you 6-7 illustrations of different people that I'm familiar with and what has happened in their lives as they simply use where they are to share what they have. So what we have determines how we share what we are and what we are where we are. And a number of years ago, when I was doing some of the ministry that I had here, one of the things I did was work with old people. Now, old people used to be anybody over 40. Then it got 50, and then it became 60 and 70. As a matter of fact, one young lady said, one of the staff wives, the three of them were talking, and somebody said, there were three gals are talking, and one of them said, have you met Pastor Ainsworth? And one of them said, oh, that guy's got to be a million years old. So here I am. And, hi, Chris. How are you? I like Chris. Anyways, so what... Well, you know there's four things you never do. How many of you remember Jim Croce? Who was that was here? Jimmy Smith last year introduced us to a guy about the 1970s named Jim Croce. And Jim Croce said there's four things you never do. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask on the old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Chris. So that's how life goes. So anyways, I took this guy out, and I'm sitting across from him, and he was in World War II, and he's telling me a bunch of different things, and finally I said to him, how did you come to know Jesus? He says, well, after the war, I went to college, and then I went to work at Chrysler. And he says, this is 1957, and I kept walking by this office, and every Wednesday, there were six guys in that office, and they all had Bibles with them. And they kept asking me to come to this Bible study, and so finally one day to get them off my back, I went in from 12 to 12:30. They ate lunch. They talked about the Bible. He says, a couple of weeks later, I came to know Christ. And I took that home to my wife. And a few weeks later, my wife trusted Christ. And then many years later, his son trusted Christ. But it's because of a guy named Paul Jensen, who was here at Highland Park Baptist Church back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, until he went home to be with the Lord. But he was simply having a Bible study for 30 minutes once a week in his office. And that's how this guy came to know Christ. See, people, use what you have, the gospel, right where you are, an office at work. We have, around where I live, there's a couple from Highland Park Baptist Church. They've got a couple of neat daughters. And next door to this couple is this single gal. And, she's really a neat gal, but does not know the Lord Jesus. And this wife of this guy, she's been spending time with her over the last at least year and a half, talking to her about Jesus Christ. The gal has come to one of our Christmas concerts. It's not that she hasn't heard the gospel. The key is breaking through the veneer and having the Lord change your life. But it's the faithfulness of a next-door neighbor sharing the Lord Jesus and talking about him and what he can do in this gal's life. It's taking what God has given us, a treasure, and using that treasure wisely, right where you are. And when I went to campus, when I was in college, first week of school, my freshman year, somebody invited my roommate and I to a college campus crusade, it's called Crew now, I think, a meeting on a Thursday night. And we asked those two significant questions that any freshman guy is going to ask. Was there food and were there girls? They said yes, so we went. We didn't know what it was. We walked into the Phi Delta Theta house, and there's these sharp guys, these cute girls. And they were singing these Christian songs, and I said to my roommate, Ken, what have we got ourselves into? He said, be polite, sit down, and be quiet. So I did. The guy shared that night how I could know Jesus Christ in a personal way. People, I was in church every single Sunday as a kid. I didn't know it, but I was in a church that did not talk about Jesus Christ saving us from sin and then changing us from the inside. And I heard that night, and I trusted Christ. And so I got involved with Campus Crusade. I'm from Connecticut. I was in Oklahoma, so it's a long way off. I had no friends. Immediately, I had 75 to 100 of the coolest friends in the whole world. And they ministered to me for all those 4.5 years. And I was in engineering school, and a couple of good guys. There was one guy there. His name was Joe Rincione. And Joe was from the Bronx. And he was a Bronx bomber. He was pretty good. Neat guy. I just liked this guy. I never did share Christ with him, but I liked him. And so I was getting ready to graduate. And it was on a Thursday night. I was leaving on Saturday to go on staff with Campus Crusade. I said, hey, Joe, would you come to a meeting with me tonight? He said, sure. The guy came, and it was Campus Crusade, and they shared the gospel stuff. And I never said much to him after the meeting, like an idiot. I should have said something to him, but I didn't. I didn't even ask him how he liked it. And I left on that Saturday. I was gone. 48 years later, in other words, 2 years ago, 48 years later, I get a phone call from Joe. He says, how are you, Gordo? I said, I'm doing fine. How are you? He says, fine. He says, well, I said, what are you doing? And he told me he was working for, I don't know, AT&T or somebody, and a wife and two boys. And then he says, yeah, and I'm a deacon at my church. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, don't you remember taking me to the Campus Crusade meeting? And I had to say, no, I had not remembered I took the guy. And he says, listen, he says, thanks for introducing me to Jesus. I went back 3 or 4 times, and I came from a tradition, but I never heard of the grace of God and the personal relationship I could have with Jesus Christ. And he trusted Christ that night. He went the whole next year to all the crusade meetings, and you know, he got involved in his church, and he started reading the Bible, and his life has changed. And all I did was ask him to come to a meeting, and then I never asked him another thing afterwards. That's my fault. But the guy came to Christ. People, use what you have, the precious gospel of the grace of God, right where you are. That's what God wants to do with us. When I was going to seminary, Tammy and I moved from, we were in Louisiana at the time, moved to Dallas, and a guy gave me a job, and he told me this. He said, here's what I'm going to do. He says, I'm a believer. I want you to work 20 hours a week. I don't want you to work anymore. I'll pay you a full-time salary. I know you need medical insurance because of Tammy. I'll pay for the medical insurance, give you 2 weeks vacation every year. All you have to do is teach a Bible study once a week at my place. What a deal. I'm not going to turn that one down. And so for 7.5 years, I worked for Tom Crocker. Nice guy. In the process of all this, we had a lady come to work. Now, at that time, I'm about 26, so anybody over 40 is old. And this old lady came. She had 6 kids, and her name was Betty. And she was a nice lady. She was fun. And she started coming to the Bible studies. And she just ate it up. She had her Bible, and it had marks in it, but she would read the stuff and get involved in the conversations. Just, it was great. The thing is this, her kids aged 26 down to 10. The 26-year-old gal was married, and she was a school teacher, but the 10-year-old had leukemia. And I knew from the background that they probably did not understand the grace of God and the life that Jesus Christ gives. And I said to her one time, can I take Michael out to lunch? Michael was about 11 at the time, and Michael sat down with me at McDonald's I went through the gospel as best as I could to an 11-year-old. And I said, would you like to pray and really thank Jesus Christ that he died for you? And he says, yes. So we prayed that day. And that kid, over the next 6 months before the Lord took him home, he really did understand what he did that day and had a sense of security that he knew where he was going. His mother, still working with me, kept coming and bringing the Bible study, bringing the Bible. And one day she said to me, I got a problem with the book of Hebrews. Not that many people don't, but you got a problem with the book of Hebrews. So she says, would you go through that with me in the break from 2:15 to 2:30? I was working the second shift. 2:15 to 2:30. I said, yeah. So every day at 2:15, I sat down at her desk right in front of everybody else taking a break. And we sat down and we went through the book of Hebrews. And about halfway through it, she said to me one day, she said, you know, this stuff is right and my church is wrong. I didn't say, fine, let's just keep going through the book of Hebrews. You know, you can read it and figure a lot of it out. So we read it and it was fine. Well, come the next summer, her daughter, who was a teacher in school, she came to work with us in this company for the summer. She started coming to the Bible studies. And one night, I got a call from her, a blistering call. Do you know my mother hasn't been to church in 6 weeks? Mother used to go 3 times a week. She hasn't been there in 6 weeks. I am furious at you. I said, Susie, let me challenge you to do something. You and your mom, and you could take your husband. Down the street is Irving Bible Church. And I want you to go there, and I want you to give it 3 months. Go every Sunday. Do you know she did that with her husband and took her mom? Never said another thing to me. 6 months later, her mother calls me. And she said, Gordon, can you come to church on Sunday night? I said, sure, what's going on? She says, Susie, her husband, and I, we're all getting baptized. And people, you know, it's one of those things where you yump for joy inside. I mean, there's no way to express. She couldn't see me on the other end of the phone doing the happy dance. It was unbelievable. It was really unbelievable to watch me dance anyways. But the fact is, people, use what you have. And all I have is the treasure given me. Right where we were, the Lord opened the door. Use the open door to let Jesus Christ use you. And you can be used. You may not have all the answers. I was going to the seminary at the time. School of embalming. Anyways, God can use you. There are plenty of people in this church who, if you can't get an answer, or can't figure out an answer, you can call somebody up in this church and ask them, hey, what's this deal? I got a Bible student over here I'm teaching, or somebody I'm discipling. I can't figure this out. There's plenty of answers. Use what God has given you right where you are. Now, the next couple of illustrations I want to give you come from my life with my wife. Tammy was one incredible person. You know, she had lupus since she came out of the womb. It's a nasty disease. Many of you have probably never even seen a picture of her, much less met her. But she was one neat woman, never complained. But oftentimes we had to go to the doctor. We had to go see some doctor doing something that would do things with her. One night, after I'd had surgery in the morning on a hernia over here, I got an ice pack. And I'm in a chair laying out, okay? I'm just letting her take care of me. As my wife says, there's nobody sicker in the world than a sick husband. And most of you, I just saw a couple of wives going like this. Yes, that's true. So, she's in the kitchen. All of a sudden, she yells, Gordon, come in here. Not fast. So I got as fast as I could. I go in, and the dishwasher door is down. And she's going like this, and I see a flap of skin in the shape of a 7. It's about that big, and it's on the back of her leg. And there's a pool of blood about 3 feet in diameter. Now, the dog is licking it up, by the way, but I'm trying to get the dog out, trying to get the blood up. And what's going on with you? And to this day, we don't know what happened. But I called somebody from our church who lived just down the block from us. They came, and the gal took Tammy to the hospital. Tammy got into the ER and then got into one of those rooms. And in walks the doc. And the doc takes a look at her and says, okay, it's real fine skin, and so I'm not sure I can get it hooked up on your leg. So she's looking at it, and she says, well, maybe I can do it. Let's try. And Tammy says, can we pray? And she says, yeah. So Tammy prayed, and then the doctor went to work, and as they're talking back and forth, Tammy's, you know, once you know Tammy, she's going to go for the throat, and she will find out everything about you within 6-7 minutes. Well, this gal's going at her leg and numbing it up, and she did a great job. And Tammy asked, you know, what do you do? And come to find out, the doctor is a Christian. She goes to one of the local evangelical churches in our area. And so as they're talking, finally, Tammy says, well, you have any children? And she says, yeah, I've got 2 boys, and I'm pregnant with number 3. And she says, well, that's great. And all of a sudden, the doctor started bawling. And Tammy says, well, you know, what's wrong? She says, my husband gave me divorce papers this morning. So here's Tammy. She's got a leg that has just been sewn up. Our friend is waiting, and this doctor standing before her, got tears running down her face. And nurses knocking on the door, we got to get you to somebody else. And so Tammy spent 10 minutes with this doctor, talking with her. Actually, what Tammy did was, it was comforting. She prayed with her before she left, and she was calmed down. But you see, what it was all about was, and then they prayed before she left too. And what it's all about, people, is using what you have right where you are. The Lord Jesus will open moments for you. Tammy had to have, they knew she had cancer. They weren't sure where it was. So she was going to have one of those bone marrow biopsies, I guess that's what they call them. You know, it's where the needle's about 6 foot long. It's got to be as wide as a telephone pole. I mean, it's huge. I don't want anything to do with it. So we get Tammy in the room, and it's at the doctor's house. No, it's at his place. And Tammy's on the gurney, and the nurse comes in. And so I prayed with Tammy, and I took off. No, I stayed there. I prayed with Tammy, get ready to pray with Tammy, and the nurse and the doctor came in. So I said, Doc, can we pray? Yes. And he's Jewish, and we knew this because we knew him. And so he stays there, and I prayed and thanked Jesus Christ that this doctor would take care of her and the nurse, and I left. And he says, where are you going? I says, I'm not watching this. It's only 5 minutes, but I'm not watching this thing. So I went out in the room, and they came out, and they got me. Well, over a 2-week period, they found out they couldn't figure out what was going on. He says, Tammy, I'm sorry, we got to do it again. So they put this needle, and they're getting ready to do this needle in the hip. And so I prayed with Tammy, and I took off and went to the other waiting room. Then the doctor came in, and the doctor says, where's Gordon? And she says, well, he's in the waiting room. He says, we can't do this till we pray. So the nurse, he says, nurse, go get him. So she says, the doctor wants to see you. Well, do you know what happens in your heart when it says the doctor wants to see you? You know, we've lost her on the table, that kind of thing. Well, you know, so I go back in. He says, Gordon, you got to pray. So I pray. And that's fine. So they found some more stuff. She had cancer taken care of, blah, blah, blah. About 2 years later, he says, Gordon, we got to do another one because we found some more stuff. So this was in the hospital, because she was in the hospital for something else. And so he brings his little entourage in. There's 2 other nurses with him, I think, and this tray and all those pieces of equipment. They're all on that thing. And they put him by the bed. I said, okay, Doc, I'll pray. He said, no, you're going to pray and you're going to stay here. So I did pray, and then I turned my back. I didn't have to see this thing. But the fact is, folks, we were able to just talk about Jesus Christ in front of this doctor. But that doesn't answer the question or solve the question. There's no question. Here's the deal. This guy had already had cancer, this doctor. And he had it like 10 or 12 years before. And after these three times of Tammy and him taking care of Tammy, he had to have surgery again. And he was in surgery. It was a pretty rough one. And he was in the hospital. And Tammy, when she speaks, I had to listen. So she said, I want you to go see Dr. G. And she got a little bag, and only Tammy could pull this off. She got a bag, put a little teddy bear in it. This is a full-grown doctor, a little teddy bear. And there was some other stuff, you know, in a balloon. It says, you know, get better or whatever. And I go over to this major hospital. I'm hauling this little thing around. And I go up to his door, and it says, no visitors. And I understand why. You know, if you're in the medical profession, everybody and their brother wants to come in and talk to you about their sore throat. So I go up and I knocked on the door and I opened it a little bit. And at the end of the bed was down here, on the sitting down, was it, come to find out, his sister. She comes running to the door. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I've got something for Dr. G. So who are you? And I said, my name is Gordon Ainsworth. And finally, he could rattle the sides of his bed because he couldn't talk very well. And he rattled the sides of his bed. She goes back and he says, who is it? It's Gordon Ainsworth. Oh, let him in. So I went in. I had my little present. Said, this is from Tammy, Doc. And, you know, of course, he's smiling all he can do now. Here's this teddy bear, little balloon. And we talked for about 5 minutes. And then I said, Doc, I'm going to pray for you and then I'm going to take off. Oh, good. Thanks. And we talked about Jesus Christ, that I prayed in Jesus' name. And there's his sister. She's as Jewish as the rest of them. And they're sitting there. And they're, people, it was only because we had the opportunity to do it. You know, he could have said, leave. But somehow, the name of Jesus Christ continued to get him. Use what you have right where you are, whether it's in an ER, whether it's a doctor in a bed, whether it's, you know, a campus crusade meeting, whether it's in an office somewhere, or a next-door neighbor. God gives us the opportunities. Ask him. That's what he wants to do. Use your treasure right where you are. But one more part, and then I'll close. Use the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use it right where you are. But people, use it for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. It's using what he's given us to glorify him and to bring him everything that he deserves through these clay pots. Nothing like using Skippy peanut butter to praise God. And that's what he wants us to do. And you see, people, he gives us the gospel. Use it where? Right where you are. I've got one more Tammy story, and I'll turn you loose. We were in Dallas, Texas. I was going to seminary. And our church in Dallas did what we did a couple of years ago. You know, we gutted the sanctuary. And so we're all meeting in our gymnasium. And so we're in the gymnasium, and Tammy came with me. She didn't normally get the church, but she wanted to go this Sunday. So she came with me, and we're sitting down, and a gal sits behind me. Tammy says, who's that? Man, I don't know who this is. There's 1,500 people in this church. She says, okay, I'm going to pray for her. You pray for me. I'm going to talk to her after the church. Because we didn't know who she was. So sure enough, amen, church stands, sings the last song, everybody's going out. Tammy turns right around and says, hi, my name's Tammy Ainsworth, what's yours? This girl looks at her and smiles and says, hi, I'm Sandra. Sandra had a funny accent, by the way. Now, it's not a foreign accent, it's funny. See, if you're from Brooklyn and you come out here to Michigan, you got a funny accent. If you're from Louisiana and you come up here, you got a funny accent. Or Texas, and you come up here, your funny accent. Because I've lived in all those spots, I know. So those are funny accents. Well, this gal happened to be from Australia. And Tammy said, well, you know, what your name? And she asked, did you like the service? That's question number two. Yeah, it was really good. Did you understand the pastor's message? I really liked it. Fine.
Have you ever made the wonderful discovery of knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way? Tammy goes right for the jugular. I mean, she just gets her hands on it. And the girl looks at her with these big eyes and she says, "No, but I'd sure like to." Tammy says, "Great. Let's go over to the other room over there." She says, "I can't. I have to get my puppies and go home." Now I'm standing there, I'm saying to myself, this girl brings dogs to church. And I didn't know we had a kennel. And she looked at us, and then she realized, oh, puppies in Australia are your children. So she says to Tammy, "Can you come over on Tuesday?" So Tammy and another gal took another gal with her, and they went over to Sandra's house, sat there, shared the gospel with her, and Sandra couldn't wait to trust Jesus Christ. And when she prayed, when Tammy prayed, Sandra prayed with her, and she realized, she knew that her sins were forgiven. And then nothing said. Sandra turned around to her purse, put her purse on the table, and pulled out her checkbook. And she says, "Well, now, who do I pay?" And Tammy said, "Well, nobody. This is the grace of God." She says, "Well, in our church in Australia, every time the church does something for you, you have to pay for it." And Tammy says, "No, you don't do that. The gospel of the grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense." That's the good news. You know, I live in Farmington, and there's a Farmington Square, and there's a Fitness 19. I don't go to either one of these places, as you can tell. But here's Fitness 19. And over here is this other one, and I can't remember what the name of it is, but it has a little, it gives the name of the place, and then it says under here, fitness. It says, "Earned, not given." And I looked at that thing. This was just last week, and it dawned on me. Earned, not given. The gospel of the grace of God, given, not earned. Isn't that what it is, folks? It's learning how to use what the treasure God has given us, the treasure of the grace of God living in us, and when the opportunity comes, to be able to talk about Jesus Christ. You may not have a revival where you are, but you know there's somebody that needs to know the Lord Jesus. Let me challenge you. You go home today. You take that treasure that you have, and you ask the Lord Jesus, "Wherever I am this next week, Lord," and you will be somewhere. You will be. "Wherever I am, Lord, I want you to open the door that I can talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, because it's all for the glory of the one who loves us." You know, football season is starting, and an hour and a half after the game over there at the bowl, whatever that thing's called in the University of Michigan, or up there at, what's that other place? Michigan State. Sorry, Chris, I didn't mean that. But you go up there to Michigan State. An hour after the game is over, the cheering is gone. The bowl is empty. It's quiet. Do you realize, people, when somebody puts their trust in Jesus Christ, as Luke 15 says, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that amazing? The grace of God, what he's done in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When somebody puts their trust in that, somehow, and I don't know what it sounds like, I don't know how long it lasts, and there's a lot of angels in heaven. I don't know how many. There's a lot of them. And there's joy when somebody puts their trust in the work of what Jesus Christ did for them. People, what the Lord has given you, use what he's given you wherever you are for his glory. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time to worship you. And it really is, Lord. We worshiped you. It was fun, Lord, worshiping you with our hearts. But what we've done just now, Lord, we want to worship you with our minds so that you will use us just this week. And Lord, I challenge them, asking you just to start a conversation. Wherever it goes, it goes. But Lord, you're the God of the universe, and you've given us a commission. And all you've asked is simple obedience. May we learn to trust you. May we learn to talk about you more, because you are the one who is eternal and brings infinite joy to our lives and will forever. Thank you for today, Lord. This has been really, really neat. And I thank you for these people, every single one of them. And I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen. Have a great week, folks, and we'll see you later.